This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto, chapter 23, text number 36 and 37. This chapter is entitled, Devahuti's Lamentation. Sa tam kritamala snanam
vibrajantim
apurvavat
atmana
vibratim
Rupam
Sambita
Ruchira
Stanim
Vidyadari
Sahasrena
Sevyamana
Suvasasam
Jata
Bhavo
Vimanam
Tad
Arohayat
Amitrahan
Satam Kritamalasnanam
Satam Kritamalasnanam
Vibrajantim Apurvavat
Vibrajantim apurvavat
Atmano vibratim rupam
Sambita ruchirastanim
Vidyadari sahasrena
Sevyamanam suvasasam
Jata bhava vimanam tad
Arohayad mitrahan
Satam kritamalasnanam
Vibrajatim apurvavat
Atmano vibratim rupam
Sambita ruchirastadim
Vidyadari sahasrena
Sevyamanam suvasasam
Jata bhava vimanam tad
Arohayad mitrahan
Satam kritamalasnanam
Vibrajantim apurvavat
Atmano vibratim rupam
Atmano
kim rupa.
Samvita ruchirastanim.
Samvita ruchirastanim.
Vidyadhari sarasena.
Vidyadhari sarasena.
Sevyamanam suvasasi.
Sevyamanam suvasasam.
Sevyamanam suvasasam.
Sevyamanam suvasasam.
Jata bhava vimanam ta.
Jata bhava vimanam ta.
Arohayada mitrahan.
Arohayada mitrahan.
Saha.
Saha.
The sage.
The sage.
Abhij.
Tam.
Heard Devahuti. Kritamala snanam.
Kritamala snanam.
Bathed clean. Vibrajantim.
Vibrajantim.
Shining forth.
Shining forth.
Apurvavat.
Apurvavat.
Unprecedentedly.
Unprecedentedly.
Atmanaha,
Atmanaha,
her own.
Yeah.
Vibratim,
Vibratim,
possessing.
Possessing.
Rupam,
Rupam,
beauty.
Beauty.
Samvita,
Samvita,
girded.
Ruchitra,
Ruchira,
Ruchira,
charming.
Stanim,
with breasts.
Vidyadari,
of Gandharva girls. Sahasrena,
Sahasrena,
by a thousand. Sevyamanam,
Sevyamanam,
being waited upon. Suvasasam,
Suvasasam,
dressed in excellent robes. Jata bhavaha,
struck with fondness.
Vimanam,
Vimanam,
airplane like a mansion. Tat,
that.
Arohayat.
Arohayat.
He put her on board. Amitrahan.
Amitrahan.
O destroyer of the enemy. Translation. The sage could see that Devahuti had washed herself clean and was shining forth as though no longer his former wife. She had regained her own original beauty as the daughter of a prince. Dressed in excellent robes, her charming breasts duly girded, she was waited upon by a thousand Gandharva girls. O destroyer of the enemy, his fondness for her grew, and he placed her on the aerial mansion.
Fordítás. A bölcs látta, hogy Devahuti tisztára mosakodott, testre ragyogott, és szinte alig ismerte a feleségére. Devahuti visszanyerte eredeti hercegnői szépségét. Amint a legkiválóbb ruhákat öltötte magára, s vonzó kemleit is szépen elrendezte, ezer gondolva rend várt rá. Ó, ellenség elpusztítója! A bölcs egyenlő nekül szeretetet érzett iránta, s végül a lépi palotába kezdette.
Report. Before her marriage, when Devahuti was brought by her parents before the sage Kardama, she was the perfectly beautiful princess, and Kardama Muni remembered her former beauty. But after her marriage, when she was engaged in the service of Kardama Muni, she neglected to care for her body like a princess, since there was no means for such care. Her husband was living in a cottage, and since she was always engaged in serving him, her royal beauty disappeared, and she became just like an ordinary maidservant. Now, after being bathed by the Gandhara girls by the order of Kardama Muni's yogic power, she regained her beauty. And Kardama Muni felt attracted to the beauty she had shown before the marriage. The real beauty of a young woman is her breasts. When Kardama Muni saw the breasts of his wife so nicely decorated, increasing her beauty many, many times, he was attracted, even though he was a great sage. Sripad Shankaracharya has therefore warned the transcendentalists that one who is after transcendental realization should not be attracted by the raised breasts of a woman, because they are nothing but an interaction of fat and blood within the body. Satam kritam alasnanam vibrajantim apurvavat atmano vibratim rupam samvitaruchirastanim vidyadhari sahasrena sevyamanam suvasasam jatabhava vimanam tad arohayadamitrahan. The sage could see that Devahuti had washed herself clean and was shining forth as though no longer his former wife. She had regained her own original beauty as the daughter of a princess. Dressed in her excellent robes, her charming breast duly girded, she was waited upon by 1,000 Gandharva girls. O destroyer of the enemy, his fondness for her grew, and he placed her on the aerial mansion.
Amint a legkiválóbb ruhákat öltötte magára, s vonzó kebeit is szépen elrendezte, ezer gandarva leállította el. Ó, ellenség elpusztítója! A bölcs egyenlőlető szeretetet érzett iránta, s végül a négyi palotába vezette.
In a normal, healthy condition, women are not attracted to women's breasts. It's only men that are attracted to women's breasts. The Adi Rasa, the original attraction, is perfectly demonstrated by the love between Radha and Krishna. Radharani has a very beautiful body. In fact, all the perfectness, all the beauty of a perfect female form is present in Radharani. Radharani has very beautiful breasts. Lord Krishna is attracted to Radharani's raised, round, beautiful breasts. We are Prakriti. We are controlled by Krishna. Krishna is Adi Purush. He is the original enjoyer, and we are to be enjoyed by Krishna. We are female in relationship to Krishna. We are meant to give pleasure to Krishna. But When we come to this material world, we try to imitate Krishna. And therefore we become attracted to Radharani's breasts in the form of our wife's breasts. This mithuni bhava, or the aura of sex attraction, is what causes us so much suffering.
Ez a mithuni bhava, vagy ez a szexuális vonzódások, az olyan nagy szenvedés nekünk.
We have nothing to do with this material world. We are eternal spirit soul, but for a few minutes of so-called pleasure, actually it's pain, but we misconstrued it to be pleasure. Our fluids are getting sucked out of our bodies. Our spine is getting broken, and we're confusing that with pleasure, and for that few minutes we're prepared to suffer unlimited miseries.
De ezért a kis boldogságért, amit mi mondunk igazából csak boldogságért, de ami valójában fájdalom, mert elveszik a testnetünket és a gerincünk ütődik, és annyi szenvedés van, de az, ezt a szörnyű szenvedést, ezt a fájdalmat boldogságnak éljük.
There is nothing really attractive about these material bodies.
Semmi igazán vonzó sincsen ezekben az anyagi testekben.
It is simply a relative consideration. We do not get agitated by the breasts on a cow. We do not get agitated by the breasts on other animals. But we have decided that these two particular breasts on human females are the most beautiful things in the world, and we're prepared to spend our whole life trying to covet those breasts and touch them.
De úgy döntöttünk, hogy ez a két mell, amit a női testen lehet látni, ez nagyon-nagyon vonz bennünket, amitál bennünket, és minden vágyunk az, hogy megkapjuk őket, vagy megérintsük.
And what is there in touch?
És mi van ott az érintésben?
I can touch this part of the skin, or I can touch this part of the skin. Touch is touch.
Megérintetem ezt a részét a bőrnek, vagy ezt a részét a bőrnek. Az érintés, az érintés.
But somehow or other, we have become so mad that these bags of skin with blood and pus in them and a little nipple on the end have become the goal of our lives. I see here in Hungary that they're selling some kind of soap. I think it's soap. I can't read the words. Obviously, it's in Hungarian. They have these big billboards all over. They have this naked woman with her arms up in the air. And they have little things covering the ends of her breasts. No, I'm sure none of you have noticed this billboard, only me. Right? But here's this company, they know how bewildered and foolish men are. And therefore they're using this body and these breasts to sell their soap. Is it soap? It's soap, okay. We've got to realize that this chance that we have in the human form of life is exactly that. It's a chance. It's not a guarantee. We can go back down into the lower species of life. You're given an opportunity to go upwards by practicing austerity, by practicing devotional service, by purifying your heart. But if you don't take advantage of the opportunity you're given, you may lose it for millions and millions of lifetimes. It's that serious. It's that, the right word, it's that serious that if you don't, you're right on the edge, you've got the chance, you could go either way, you have to make use of the opportunity. So we have to create a society where we minimize the mode of passion and ignorance. Now here Prabhupada says that the real beauty of a young woman is her breasts. But in another place, Srila Prabhupada says that the real beauty of a young woman is her chastity. The real beauty of a young woman is her shyness. If she wants to advertise her beauty in the form of her breasts, then she will attract an inconsiderate, aggressive, exploiting male. Certainly, the form of a woman is like fire, and a man is like butter. So if the fire goes around the kitchen and goes into where all the butter is and goes all over the butter cabinet, all the butter is going to melt, sure. But is this really in your self-interest? In some cultures, women actually bind their breasts to try to minimize them completely.
Vannak olyan kultúrák, ahol a nők annyira lekötözik a mellüket, hogy amennyire csak lehet, így ne kicsinyítsük.
They take bamboo string and create not exactly a brassiere, it's much heavier than a brassiere, but they bind their breasts tightly. It's an austerity. So that is a little extreme. That is not required, but certainly it is required that we should get engrossed in our devotional service and try to live simply, try to dress simply, try to avoid makeup and other things. Live simply, dress simply. Avoid makeup. And men should also be sober. With knowledge, we can defeat ignorance. As I said, we are all meant to be attracted to Krishna's lotus feet. We are all meant to be attracted to Krishna's thighs. We are all meant to be attracted to Krishna's hips and Krishna's waist. We are all meant to be attracted to Krishna's breasts, Krishna's arms, Krishna's ears, Krishna's hair, Krishna's lips, Krishna's nose, Krishna's eyes. We're not meant to be attracted to fleshy bags of blood and skin. Now, in the evolution of our lives, 100 years we have, so there are stages that we go through. We may not be able to handle the intense energy of lust quickly. We have built up this lust over many lifetimes. So to curb it down all of a sudden in a few days or a few weeks may be a little difficult. Therefore, we do have a good portion, about 30 years or 40 years, where we can enter household life. And you can get to touch those fleshy bags. Once a month. But I can tell you right now what's there. I don't have to do it, I know. You're not the first one. There have been millions and billions before you. An intelligent man can understand by hearing. He doesn't have to suffer to know that fire is hot. He learns and he doesn't touch fire.
meg kell szenvedni ahhoz, hogy megértsen, hogy a tűz forró halmara, és akkor megérti.
A less intelligent man understands only after experiencing. And a fool doesn't understand even after experiencing. Okay, so we enter household life and we regulate our activities and gradually we develop knowledge. But we should be very, very careful that we practice all the rules and regulations as they are explained in our scriptures. The butter is kept in the kitchen. In the kitchen there's fire also. Sometimes you have to melt butter. It's needed for cooking. But the butter should be kept in a refrigerator or in a cooler part of the kitchen, and the fire should be kept in another part of the kitchen. So even in householder life, we should be very careful. It's not that now I have got my house and I and my wife can walk around the house naked and uncovered, or this is our sex palace and you know, what we do here is our concern, nobody should be concerned.
Nem, hogy most megvan a házunk, és messze nem jár fel a férés és a feleség is fel alá, hanem hogy befedni a testét, és ez a mi szexuális palotánk, és senkit se érdekel, hogy mi történik.
Because it doesn't stop there.
Mert ez nem áll meg itt.
Once you start pouring butter on the fire grows bigger and bigger.
Elkezdett beleönteni a vajat a tűzbe, az egyre nagyobb és nagyobb lesz.
The fire of material lust, you can't put it out by pouring ghee on it. You can't curb down lust by gratifying your senses. And you'll only become more and more agitated for someone else's husband or someone else's wife or some single girl or whatever it is. And the foundation of our spiritual lives is to control our minds and our senses. Sense gratification and spiritual life do not go well together. So we're given a license, but we have to follow the license very carefully. Kardama Muni is a prime example. He and his wife engaged in devotional service and lived very austerely. And in that austere environment, they did not feel much lust, if any at all. Bhogaisvarya prasaktanam tayaparita chetasam. When we surround our personal selves with material opulence, there's every chance that our material desires will come to the surface and will demand gratification.
Ha olyan igazságra veszük körbe magunkat, akkor minden esély megvan arra, hogy az érzékeny követeljük az érzékkielégítést.
Therefore, like Kardama Muni, we should keep our personal lives very simple and as far as possible austere.
Az egyik adnak a módi személyesen még nagyon egyszerűen, és amennyire lehet nem mondottam.
For preaching, we may engage opulence in Krishna's service.
A prédikálás érdekében lefoglalhatunk gazdagságot Krishna szolgálatában.
There is a nice letter from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to the members of the MAT. And he's addressing the letter to the sannyasis and renunciates. And he's explaining that for preaching we can wear leather shoes, we can go out in cars, we can do so many things for preaching. Leather shoes means naturally made, ahimsa, non-violent leather.
És hogy a prédikálás érdekében lehet viselni bőrcipőt és használni autókat és más dolgokat. A bőrcipőt azt jelenti, hogy ilyen ahimsa, erőszakmentes bőr.
But he says if any sannyasi has to go out for his personal work, not connected to preaching, then that sannyasi should go barefoot. And he should not take the temple vehicle. He said that if you are simply interested in using Lord Krishna's paraphernalia, Lord Krishna's facility, for just eating medicine and living comfortably, then you better go home to your wife and hide behind her sari. Eating medicine and living comfortably. So, Kardama Muni lived very simply with his wife. And when it was time, he was able to create a facility and enjoy in a proper way according to his status in life.
Az életstátusza szerinti élvezetet eltűnni.
Because of his austerity, he also had great power. One of the yogic siddhis is that one can create an entire planet. So Kardama Muni created an aerial palace, a flying palace. In other words, he created a nice facility to the best of his capacity to serve his wife. He took it as his duty that he should bless his wife because she had served him so faithfully, and she was naturally interested in some enjoyment with her husband. He did not take her service for granted. He appreciated her service and tried to reciprocate.
Nem tekintette természetesnek a szolgálatát, hanem nagyon értékelte azt, és megpróbálta viszonozni.
But it is very significant that he told her that he will enjoy with her, but ultimately he is going to renounce the world.
Nagyon fontos, hogy mondta neki, hogy jól fog vele élvezni, de utána végül le fog magadni a világon.
So, we should always keep this in mind. At the time of death, you have to take sannyas anyway. So, Better do it gradually now. All our lives should be in the direction of renunciation. What is this renunciation? It's rejecting what is false. Rejecting what is temporary. But it is embracing what is real, what is eternal. Renunciation doesn't mean that you end up with nothing. Renunciation means that you're filled full with Krishna consciousness. You inherit the kingdom of God. Oh. In summary, we are all meant for Krishna's pleasure. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyapamam shantim ruchati. As soon as we accept that we are meant for giving pleasure, not taking pleasure, we will achieve lasting peace, happiness, and pleasure. These breasts of a woman or any part of the body of a woman is just a material form. There is a spirit soul inside that body that is suffering. And you should not exploit or in any way obstruct the spirit soul from reaching the lotus feet of Krishna. None of you, if you really want breasts, then you can go to a graveyard and dig up the graves. There's so many breasts there. But nobody will embrace the body of a dead woman. The same breast is there. Or jump up on the billboard. There's only one eternal, beautiful truth, and that is Lord Krishna. So let us focus on Krishna. Let us adjust our lives so that we neither of us get distracted by this temporary world, but so that we can both go back to home, back to Godhead. Is there any question?
No,
Grant.
Hallottam, hogy Amerikában most már vannak ilyenek, hogy szóval halott nőkkel élet nem életet, úgyhogy szóval belerakni ki a meleg folyadékot a testükbe, és akkor így felöltöztetik őket nagyon szépen. És akkor, hogy ez ilyen személyeket mi vonza az irányba, mert ott már nincs ilyen lélek.
Yes, whether in America, men have sex life with dead women, or they put a tank of liquid into their body to warm it up and dress in nice clothes, and rape these bodies, and he's asking what gives them pleasure in this service of man.
No. They do better things than that, too.
And they look at all the history, I know.
You can go into a sex shop and buy a very beautiful plastic woman. I mean, once you get into it, there are things that we shouldn't even repeat in this temple room. They're so ludicrous. Lord Chaitanya said, I become agitated by seeing a wooden doll. Sex attraction is a powerful energy. But it's misdirected. Yatato hiyapi kaunteya puru sesva vipaskita indriyani pramatini haranti prasabham manaha. Even a very intelligent person, when he gets caught up by this sex energy, he becomes mad. I think I told you last time, but I'll tell you again, just to keep your minds fresh. I saw a video of serial murderers in America. Serial means they kill 30, 40, 50 people one after another in serial. So they were interviewing some of these serial killers just to show you their who they are and where they can be in society. And a number of them who were interviewed had very high IQ.
+120, +130.
See, 125 is genius. So here's people with 135, 140, 145 IQ. Very brilliant people. But perverted mind. Twisted, turned. Like we are, we're perverted in relationship to Krishna. So, this one animal that they interviewed. He had an IQ of 135, and he had killed about 40 women, and his modus operandi was that he would pick young girls up or women in his car while they were hitchhiking or something. Then he would somehow capture them and kill them. Then he would take them to his apartment and cut off their heads, and then he would jump in bed with them, and he would pretend to have an affair with them, and he would speak to himself, and he was telling this on the video. He said, "At first I thought I was crazy." But then I realized that if I had the intelligence to think that I was crazy, then I'm not crazy. So we're actually crazy. And we're crazy. There's no pleasure there. We're only thinking. We're only projecting. I know the whole world's chasing after it. There must be something there. But it's all relative. If you're in a prison camp and you're starved and you haven't eaten anything in months, and someone brings you, liberates you from the prison camp, and then they give you a little cracker with some salt on it, and it's the first thing you've tasted in months, you'll have an orgasm. You'll think, that's the most delicious thing I ever tasted. You go to the heavenly planets, and they look down at us and say, oh, these poor human beings, how do they live like that? I see Americans who come to India, and they go through the villages, and they say, these people don't have televisions, these people don't have cars, they don't have swimming pools, how can they live like this? Then one Indian who's living perfectly peacefully and happily in his village, he gets a call from his relative in America who's gotten a green card, and he's inviting him to come to sponsor him. So he goes to America and gets a house and a car and a television and a mortgage and so many things. forget more.
Elmegy Amerikába és kap egy házat, egy kocsit, egy televíziót.
And then he goes back to India and sees his friends in the village and he thinks, how could I have lived like that? It's all relative. It's all a perverted reflection of our relationship with Krishna. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Griha sunyam putra. Where does that go? You have to give your wife a child, at least one son. You have to give her her home. She's got to have her house. Saris. Bangles. Nice food. But be careful, your spiritual life might get ruined. One of my god brothers, he had heavy asthma. So he got married. And at a certain point there was some, desire, especially from his wife's side, for a relationship. But having heavy asthma, it was a problem for him. So he wrote to Prabhupada, how can I satisfy my wife? So Prabhupada wrote that you have to give her, nice food, nice saris, a lot of sex life, but then your spiritual life will be ruined. Best thing is to choose carefully a proper wife or a proper husband. Who really wants spiritual life and nothing else. Now, none of us are perfect. And we should know to the degree that we go to fulfill our material desires, we will have to also put up with a certain amount of material disturbance. Okay, that's the price you have to pay to fulfill your material desires. All of our acharyas were married, mostly. Nityananda Prabhu had 6 children. Bhaktivinoda had 10. They didn't do it by meditation. So how to balance material gratification and spiritual desires and spiritual life? That is a balance that every individual will have to adjust according to his particular situation. If we have a very, very strong spiritual program, then even though we have sex life, even though we have a house, even though we have material facilities, we won't get distracted. For example, a householder may have a house, but that householder should invite saintly persons to their house often. That householder should serve the other Vaishnavas in their house very often. That householder should, when they're not in a community, they should have deities in their house, and they should consider themselves simply the servants, that the owner, the master, the proprietor is the deities. And you were talking about a householder giving in or condescending to satisfy his wife's desires. The chances are his desires are just as strong. So I think it's a question of clear communication and creating a plan to satisfy the desires so that neither of you get caught by Maya. You have to negotiate. Okay, you can have three saris and two sets of bangles. If you have four, we might fall into Maya. Not like Imelda Marcos, that you have 2,000 pairs of shoes. Imelda Marcos of the Philippines, you never heard of her? Huh? her country was starving, people were poor, and yet she had such a wardrobe, opulent wardrobe, that she had more than 2,000 pairs of shoes. Most of them she never got to wear. Not disgraceful, even worse than disgraceful. It was. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Я не знаю, что это. Я не знаю, что это. Я не знаю, что это. Я не знаю, что это.
You dovetail it, chant 50 rounds. Actually, when you plan to have a child, you have to plan the whole procedure from beginning to end. So there's purification in the beginning. There's an attempt to think of Krishna in the middle. There's purification at the end. Obviously, you can't create a child without passion. I mean, in fact, part of the planning is that if you want to have a son, the wife has to act in such a way that she arouses the passion of the man. That's the part of the science is there in the Bhagavatam. But here's a gross example. A man in Fiji who was becoming a devotee had a big supermarket. So he was selling meat. He took Prabhupada for a tour. Prabhupada saw the meat department. He told them, okay, you're selling meat. If you didn't sell meat, your supermarket would fall apart. But you better make sure that every penny from the sale of the items in the supermarket are used only for Krishna service. So you just make sure that you raise your children in Krishna consciousness. You just make sure that there's no question at any stage of your life of divorce. Do you understand the example I gave them? In other words, selling meat brings its own kind of karma. But extreme example, but even if you're doing that, if you use the profits from it for Krishna's service, Prabhupada was prepared to overlook it. It's not the best thing. Now that man doesn't have a supermarket, they sold it. So, basically licit or illicit sex binds you to the material world. But unless you get a little in your life, you're going to crack up. So you do it in such a way that the results you offer to Krishna. And eventually you should sell the supermarket. Not your wife, but eventually you should give up sex. Not that at 75 years old you're still doing once a month. You have to give it up. You have to embrace Krishna fully, that's all. You can't embrace Krishna fully and say, oh, just a second, Krishna, I want to have sex with my wife right now. Okay, we got another verse tomorrow. I guess you've been reading this chapter for some time. And some people do say, why are you people always talking about these things? Especially, I know Indians that come to the Sunday feast only, and you know, every Sunday feast is the same thing. Some brahmachari or some sannyasi starts talking about sex, now Krishna consciousness means not. So they complain about that. Of course, Krishna consciousness is not negative. It's full of joy. It's full of happiness. And even family life is full of happiness and joy. Some of the little children that we have, they're the most beautiful little charming demigods in the whole universe. So much fun to be with them. To watch them grow in Krishna consciousness. And a mature relationship between two adults who actually love each other on all three levels, or material, a gross physical, mental, and spiritual. That's very nice. But still at the same time, hipatma patam griham anda kupam. If you don't keep your mind steady, you get carried away, you get out of balance. We have to hear these things over and over again. Ratraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.